Today, we're going to be pronouncing a word that's difficult to pronounce, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, so forgive us in advance for all the pronunciation mistakes we'll be making.
Well, I always kind of make light of the name. It's easy to remember how to pronounce it. It's simply Ahmadinejad. So Ahmadinejad, Ahmadinejad. It sounds something similar. So
whatever
here we go.
It takes.
You've got a great article in the November issue of Prophecy in the News in our magazine that talks about his appearance at the United Nations that is just absolutely startling, and I know you're anxious to tell us about it.
Well, this article that I've written has to do with the coming of the Mahdi, which is the Islamic version of, or at least the Shiite Muslim version, of the Messiah. And you say, well, why would they have their own Messiah? Well, the reason is because essentially they've copied the messianic concept from earlier religions, Judaism, Christianity, both of which believe in a coming Messiah. And so Islam, essentially being a later religion, essentially invented out of whole cloth, in my opinion, copied the best facets of already existing religions. And Bob, here's what got me thinking. On the 26th of September, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad spoke before the General Assembly of the United Nations. I have a transcript of his speech, which ran about 45 minutes. Fortunately, I'm not going to read all of that, but I want to read the last few statements that he makes in this speech, because I don't think, Bob, most people realize what Shia Muslims really believe. And here is Mahmoud Ahmadinejad addressing his comments to the President of the General Assembly. He says, Mr. President, friends and colleagues, creating peace and lasting security will bring a decent life for all. Although a great and historic mission will have to be accomplished soon. The Almighty God has not left us alone in this mission, and has said that it will surely happen. If it doesn't happen, then it will be contradictory to his wisdom. Now, here's the interesting thing that he says next. God has promised us a man of kindness, a man who loves people and who loves absolute justice, a man who is a perfect human being and is named, and then the name is kind of blurred here on the transcript. We'll talk about what that name is a little bit later. A man who will come in the company of Jesus Christ and the righteous. Pause there for a moment. He actually said that the Islamic Messiah is going to come in the company of Jesus Christ and the righteous.
When we heard that, we were a little bit speechless. It was like Jesus is coming along for the bride.
Yeah, Jesus, oh, by the way, Jesus is coming too. And that's pretty much their attitude.
Gary, what I find really funny about this and ironic is he's talking about a man of kindness, a man who loves people and loves absolute justice, a perfect human being.
Yeah.
And yet this is coming out of the mouth of one of the biggest supporters of terrorism in the world today, someone who's called for the annihilation of the Jewish state, just the complete destruction of Israel, and who is seeking nuclear weapons as we speak, that has the whole world wondering, are we on the verge of a war or an attack or a battle between Israel, America, and Iran?
Well, a counterfeit religion would copy the best parts of the true religion. Of course, Judaism, later Christianity, were basically belief systems that revolved around faith and the love of a creator, that is, a loving God. This all sounds very good. Why not copy it and just talk about the Mahdi, the coming Mahdi, as a man who will bring love to the entire world?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong here, but when Islam was founded as a religion, from what I've read, Muhammad actually went to the Jews, went to the Christians, and tried to kind of incorporate his religion and his ideals and ways of thinking into their religions, and kind of wanted to team up and create a little team approach, you know, to the worship of God. And it didn't quite work out that way.
It's sort of religion by synthesis. You know, let's pick the best parts and come up with a good religion. Let me read a few more statements from Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. He refers to the Mahdi as the ultimate savior, Now, I'm a Christian, and my ultimate Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to make that clear up front as I'm reading this. He says, the arrival of the ultimate Savior will mark a new beginning, a rebirth, and a resurrection. It will be the beginning of peace, lasting security, and genuine life. Elsewhere, he says, he will come, and he will cut through ignorance, superstition, and prejudice by opening the gates of science and knowledge. A little bit later, he says, he will come to grant kindness, hope, freedom, and dignity to all humanity as a gift. And then he says a little later, he will come to return all children of Adam, irrespective of their skin colors, to their innate origin. So now he goes back to Adam, which of course is traceable only through the Judeo-Christian scriptures, because they are the only ones who really speak definitively of Adam. And finally, let me quote one closing statement from Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. He says, and I quote, the arrival of the ultimate Savior, comma, Jesus Christ and the righteous will bring about an eternally bright future for mankind, not by force or waging wars, but through thought, awakening, and developing kindness in everyone. And so here's the belief system, the Mahdi, the Imam Mahdi, their Savior is going to come back as the ultimate Savior. He will be accompanied by Jesus Christ. He'll bring righteousness and love to the world. There's just one thing wrong with that concept.
Well, it's just, I find it kind of funny because as Christians, you know, we quote the verse, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's the Christianity belief. And here on the other side of the aisle, you know, is the Mahdi. And, you know, we're in this mode of these date setting schemes that have gone on throughout history. You know, December 21st, 2012 is coming up, you know, when the Mayan calendar is supposed to run out. We see, and you reference this in your article, which by the way, some of this in here is just wonderful, because when you actually see the side by side comparison between Islam and Christianity, and you see how they've copied Christianity, like you said, they've taken the best parts of Judaism, they've taken the best parts of Christendom, and they've created their own religion with terminology that just is right out of the pages of the Bible. And of course, you and I both know that the Bible was written 500 years before the Quran, before Muhammad, and before all these events took place. So you can see it, and we're going to go through that a little bit by bit here, and when you see it, it's really kind of fascinating.
Well, it is, and we haven't even mentioned the Antichrist yet, because Mahmoud Ahmadinejad believes in the Antichrist. Where could he have come up with that conception?
I can't imagine.
Yeah, well, the New Testament, of course, or the book of Daniel, perhaps, lays out the idea of a coming Antichrist. But again, he believes that the Mahdi in the company of Jesus Christ will even destroy the Antichrist. So that's not all of what we're going to talk about by far. But let's go back to the history, a bit of the history of Islam. He is, in this speech before the UN, simply following a centuries-old process by which Islam has systematically adopted the portions of other religions. Now, we've mentioned Judaism and Christianity, Bob, but he also was speaking the words of the Zoroastrianism. Because if you go back to the history of Persia, which is what modern Iran really is, you recall that Daniel lived out his life in Persia. And there arose a sect of religious leaders in Persia called the Magi. They were the ones who came and brought gifts to Jesus. And out of the belief system of the Magi came Zoroastrianism, which believed in the one true God, but it was a modification of ancient Judaism. Nevertheless, it sort of set the tone in Persia for the kind of religion that they would have centuries later, at the time of Muhammad. Muhammad took a little bit of Zoroastrianism, a little bit of Judaism, a little bit of Christianity, and we have what we have today in the speech before the United Nations.
Well, everything changed in AD 651. You know, based on your article, the Muslims defeated Persia. All Zoroastrians who would not convert were either killed or exiled. That sounds kind of familiar. The monotheism of Zoroaster was then shifted into Islam as it began its historic climb to power. So that's when things changed in Persia in 651 AD.
Now, there's something to think about here. Let's suppose that someone from the United States got up before the General Assembly of the United Nations and began to speak about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church, and just preached a good old-fashioned Christian message there on the floor of the General Assembly. What would the reaction have been?
Well, I'm not sure if it'd be anger or if the media would completely ignore it. One of the two.
But in the case of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, he was hailed. You know, he was greeted as a good chap, a good fellow, and
on Yom Kippur.
On Yom Kippur.
Of all days.
Yeah, I left that out, but that's, yeah, you're right.
Well, talk about the speech and what happened during the speech, because it really is astonishing. This is far more than just a normal man getting up and giving a speech, isn't it?
Well, it's kind of fascinating. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad goes back years. He spoke before the United Nations in 2005, you know, and that's 7 years ago. But there is this rumor among all of the leaders of Islam that when he speaks, there is a spiritual presence in the United Nations that can actually be felt. And the first time that he spoke in 2005, people didn't blink. Do you recall that news story? And Ahmadinejad agreed with them. They all stared wide-eyed without ever blinking one time, and they later reported that the reason they didn't blink is because Ahmadinejad was surrounded by a glowing light.
And this lasted for almost 30 minutes.
Yeah. Well, again, when he spoke this year in 2012, many reported a similar kind of phenomenon. So there is actually a spiritual dimension to this thing.
Well, you say in the article that he was like a fiery preacher.
Oh, yeah.
You know, up on the stage, just, you know, basically screaming and pleading, you know, for the return of the Mahdi. And some people wonder if he views himself as the Mahdi or some type of emissary.
I think, you know, he could, because Ahmadinejad claims physical descent from the imams who lived hundreds of years ago, one of whom is called the Imam Mahdi, the 12th imam, who will then come back in physical form and present himself to the world. Paul Williams wrote a book, and I've quoted pieces of Paul Williams' writing that I think are very, very outstanding. His book's called The Al-Qaeda Connection. And back in 2005, he wrote, quote, "Islamic clerics point out that signs in the heavens are propitious for such an event. This year, that is 2005, Muslims will experience solar and lunar eclipses during the holy month, and these great heavenly signs, according to Islamic visionary Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Sahib, foretell the coming of the Mahdi." So this, Bob, this thing that we're, this phenomenon we're speaking of, goes back to 2005. And comes right up to the present. Nothing has changed. They're still looking for the Mahdi. And it, to me, all this is very interesting because it's such a blatant counterfeit of Christianity.
Well, you mentioned in the article where he talks about signs in the heavens. And throughout the Bible,
yes,
I find it interesting because God has used comets. I mean, we go all the way back to the star Bethlehem, you know, being used as a sign of the Savior's birth. He's used different events, different solar eclipses, different lunar eclipses to portend certain future events and things that were going to happen. And Islam has copied this too. If you read about some of the lunar and solar eclipses that they assign to days that they think are going to be highly significant. In fact, you say here, Williams pointed out in October 2005 during Ramadan, two eclipses occurred. One was a solar eclipse on the 3rd. The other was a lunar eclipse on the 17th. This phenomenon had occurred only once before in 1894. At that time, clerics said that when it happened again, it would mark the time of the emergence of the Mahdi. So we have, you know, we have another date coming up here on the agenda, and people are watching the calendar again.
And the reason that I wrote this article, and there's much, much detail in the article. Bob can attest to that. He proofread it.
4 times.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And the reason I wrote the article is to make very clear what is happening and very clear the value and the beauty of being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we believe in the real thing. The rest of the world is trying to whip up some kind of a counterfeit. And by the way, in the process, their sheikhs, their imams, their clerics have made various kinds of statements over the, going back to 2005, in which they say it's quite all right to develop nuclear weapons, because if we do, it will enhance the prospect of war, and war will certainly bring back the Imam Mahdi. And so it is in their best interest, as they see it, to develop weapons of war. In fact, I have a quote from Paul Williams. One Muslim, Sheikh Nasser bin Hamid al-Fahd, recently issued a religious ruling, or fatwa, on behalf of the clerics of Saudi Arabia that granted the then-living Osama bin Laden and other terrorists the permission to use nuclear weapons against the United States. And so, you know, they just routinely give their religious sanction to the development of nuclear weapons. This is also true of Shiites in Iran. And you have to wrap your mind around this. This is so foreign to the way we think as Christians.
Well, it's apocalyptic. It's actually pretty easy to understand. Without creating chaos in the world, the Mahdi is not going to come. So by creating chaos and creating and making terroristic threats and threatening to destroy Israel and saber-rattling and threatening to blow up U.S. aircraft carriers at sea, and you go down all of the crazy statements that Ahmadinejad has made, you just have to realize he wants a battle. He wants a war. He thinks there's a day coming where when he creates this chaos, he's going to be the shining star of the Mahdi's reappearance.
Ahmadinejad believes in the 12th Imam. In Iran, there's a group called the Twelvers. And let me read a quote here. According to Shiite Muslim teaching, Abdul Qasim Muhammad, the 12th leader whom Shiites consider descended from the Prophet Muhammad, disappeared in AD 941, but will return at the end of time to lead an era of Islamic justice. Now, this was the name, and let me repeat it, Abul Qasim Muhammad. This is the name that Ahmadinejad actually spoke in the United Nations General Assembly, but the translator rendered it inaudible, because to speak that name would not have been proper. So this is the actual name of the guy Mahmoud Ahmadinejad thinks is coming back right now. He disappeared in AD 941, but will return, according to belief, at the end of time to lead an era of Islamic justice. And there is a society called the Hojatiya Society, and I made it through that. This is all a challenge for me.
I'm glad you pronounced that and not me.
The Hojatiya Society is governed by the conviction that the 12th Imam's return will be hastened by the creation of chaos on earth. Well, how better to create chaos on earth than to whip up some nuclear weapons, for example, that can be fitted to the front of intermediate range ballistic missiles aimed at Israel.
And the media calls Christians apocalyptic?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not looking forward to Armageddon. I'm looking for the return of Jesus before, to take us out of this world before that terrible day.
Well, this statement ends that Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who is only the second non-cleric to become president since the Iranian Revolution, has made clear his immense respect for the Ayatollah Mohammad Taji Mezbah Yazdi, a deeply conservative cleric with close ties to the Hojatiyah-founded Haqqani Theological School. Now, all that means, all those strange names go together to mean one thing. There is the leading faction in Iran today has this chaos philosophy, which I think is a large factor in understanding world events. And yet it's seldom mentioned. That is to say, we don't go around talking about the Twelvers and what they really believe and how that could have a great bearing on, for example, their development of a nuclear weapons program.
And you put it so well in the article when you use the quote, great, a holy man with a bomb. Just what we need. Let me sum up one paragraph you've written here and kind of lead into some of the comparisons between Islam and Christianity and where they've taken a lot of their beliefs and their apocalyptic terminology. I mean, this sums up really the article you've written great here. Any discerning Christian can see that Islam has taken the key end time prophecies of the Bible, mixed them up, and turned them upside down. America is Gog. Its president is the beast. The apocalypse is dominated by the Mahdi, who destroys both America and Israel. This will bring the world into the glorious age of its kingdom called, ready for this? The Day of Islam. Now, where have I heard something that sounds kind of similar to that before?
And you know, I spend quite a bit of time on that in the article because a very important spiritual concept for Christians and for Jews, by the way, is the great and terrible Day of the Lord. There are so many Day of the Lord prophecies in the Old Testament and the New, and they all speak of the same thing. They speak of God's judgment of this earth. Well, all you do is modify that slightly, change the wording, and call it the Day of Islam. Presto. You've got a whole new school of thought that you can apply to your own prophetic scheming. And thereby justify much of what you do in the world. Justify it religiously. And so, essentially, that's the last step in their synthesized religion. They have taken the Judeo-Christian Day of the Lord and turned it into the Day of Islam. What a thing to do.
Well, then there's the subject of the beast, you know, who they call the beast. And,
yes,
of course, the famous prophecy, you know, in the 13th chapter of Revelation, most people are familiar with, it's the mark of the beast prophecy. And it says, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. It's the number of a man. The number is 666, the dreaded 666 number. So here we see the beast in the book of Revelation, but Islam thinks that the American president is the beast, and they've incorporated that into their theology.
They have. Now get this little detail. Islamic scholars, and I'm reading from this article on the behaviors of the current Iranian government and the beliefs of the ancient societies in Iran. Islamic scholars say that when the Imam Mahdi comes, he will be followed by the Hadrat Isa. That's their name for Jesus. He will be followed by this Hadrat Isa. Amazingly, they say that only Jesus will be able to kill the Dajjal. That's the Antichrist or the beast. So isn't that a fascinating little aspect of Shiite Muslim belief?
Well, there's one thing we could agree on.
We can agree on that. We don't agree that he is second to the Mahdi, but only Jesus will be able to kill the beast or the Antichrist. They also teach that the Antichrist comes to the Jews showing power, signs, and wonders, and they will believe him to be their true Messiah, but Jesus will kill him. Now, where in the world did they come up with that religious belief, Bob? It's as clear as can be to you and to me.
Well, I find it interesting that the words of Jesus in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, you know, talk about the false messiahs, You know, talk about the days that are coming in the future when the Jews will accept someone who doesn't come in Jesus' name, who they rejected almost 2,000 years ago, but comes in the name of someone else. And we're heading into that day where there's a great deception, and there are a great many people claiming to be the Messiah, and of course the Bible tells us otherwise.